You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
At the mic, they've been, oh, what a ride. John and Gordy spinning stories side by side.
Wow.
Coffee cups steaming, early mornings alive. Radio waves where the spirits thrive. Cool guests rolling in like a breeze through the door. Stories stacking up, who could ask for more? Radio gold.
Wow.
As we unfurl the Marxist flags in the studio.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Who put that together?
I took a little lesson from you.
Really?
Yeah.
That is pretty spectacular.
Yeah,
I didn't
thank
expect
you,
to
Dom.
See that at our election.
That's amazing. That was really good.
I'm running for office on that theme alone, right there. You and I, both have to, apparently.
I guess so. Wow, that was really something.
Geez, thank you very much.
Yeah, 2 years today.
2 year anniversary.
I had to add that golden at the end, too. You know, you never can go without gold, I guess.
Yeah.
That's true. We got a lot of gold in the studio this morning.
Yeah, we got this big giant gold balloon that looks like an S from this side, but it's actually two.
You guys
were
expecting
two.
Me to be just freaked out. Oh, 2 years, yes. And I said, what's a giant S doing?
That's what you said when you walked in this morning. And there's some balloons. Let me get if anybody's watching on camera.
Yeah, there's some stuff in there.
There's
these balloons.
Nope. Oops. What happened?
It's like.
Okay, I see. Here we go. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, there are these balloons with I don't know how they put these in there.
Yeah.
These gold coins or whatever they are. Nice.
Apparently, we have slave labor in the balloon department.
I don't think so. But
at Party City. Well, I wish
Catherine
they were still around.
And Megan put all that together. So thank you for that. And thanks for the 2 year celebration.
Yeah.
A song there, Dominic. That was really amazing.
I was stunned.
I was too.
I was standing at attention, hand over my heart.
T has a comment here. Today is 2 year anniversary brought to you by the letter S. Happy anniversary, John and Gordy. Thank you, T.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
You can
send us some comments on the Civic Media app if you'd like to do that, or call us 608-879-8255.
I love the fact that you even mentioned in the song that, you know, the stories stack up.
Yeah.
I wish you never
get to them all.
And I was thinking this morning, you know what I should do? Tell you what you missed. I'll just quickly go through my headlines and the stories that I brought in that we never got to.
We don't have
at
time for.
At least, you know, I've been doing my homework, okay?
We know that.
I want credit for that.
Okay.
All right, well, here's the big story that happened on Monday, and I think it bears repeating from Rachel Maddow, who had this. Mm-hmm. She was talking about a book that she endorsed, and it's something you could find. But anyway, this is the story that she brought up the other day. And I just saw a story yesterday in regards to this. ICE just bought an AI-powered social media surveillance bot called Pegasus, used by the Israeli military. And now it's being used by the Pentagon. It scans billions of posts a day and is now being aimed at people inside the U.S. Yes,
okay,
that's you and me. How's that going for you there, CJ? How's that going for you, mega friend in Milwaukee? You like that stuff? Oh, you know, we got to control the public, right?
Mm.
And I'm not even talking about what Doge did when they went through all the departments and stole all the personal information that you and I had, and we thought was secure because it was in the government someplace. Right. And it normally is secure in the government, but they just blew through all of that took care of all the rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm. Now Elon Musk has all that information.
Yes. Nice. So anyway, Rachel Maddow broke this story the other night, and it's jaw-dropping. Let's play it. 2:35, right?
Joining us now here in studio is Julia Angwin. She is a New York Times contributing opinion writer. Am I freaking out for no reason?
I wish I could say you were, but unfortunately, this is much worse than I think we all expected it to be. When I wrote my book, Dragnet Nation, a decade ago, all the reviews said that I was basically hysterical. And if you look back at that book, it was far less than what is happening now. It is far worse than anyone predicted. And that's largely because of exactly what you're talking about. We didn't have at that time spyware that could just infect your phone with no clicks. We didn't have at that time facial recognition technology. And we didn't have a government buying it and promising to use it on its own citizens. That's new. Well, I think we already know one thing, which is they are definitely, ICE is using it the most right now. And they are really, it seems like going to get people's locations so they could go round them up. You know, I think people haven't really paid attention to the fact that we now know that they've tapped into the Medicaid database. They're using combing through for addresses. They're also doing that through the IRS database. Mm-hmm. So they are looking for people's addresses. And if they can't find out through that, then they're using this technology to track their phones. They've been flying drones at protests to track protesters and maybe identify them. So we already know that ICE is doing a lot of surveillance. But I think what we don't really comprehend, because it's so new, is the fact that the government has now redefined domestic terrorism to this really vague thing, Antifa. Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's against fascism, anybody who's anti-fascist is a domestic terrorist.
So that means anyone who showed up at No Kings, anyone who's expressed dissent against lawlessness that's occurring by this administration could be designated. So I think what we're really mentally not prepared for is the idea that we could be under a very oppressive surveillance regime. Because the problem is with surveillance, the way it works is if they want to get something on you, there's always something. Mm-hmm. If you go through the phone records of somebody, you will find something embarrassing. You'll find something illegal, something, you know, that you can hang somebody out to dry with.
Or that you could concoct and say that you found it.
Yes, exactly. And then they'd have to fight it for years in court. And so I think we are really on the cusp of a world where I really fear that all dissent will be so dangerous, right? And then, of course, they've scared everyone with, like, if they catch you, they're going to send you to some gulag, right? Mm-hmm. So people are going to be very terrified to speak up. People are already terrified, but I'm really worried that the biggest fear of a surveillance regime is actually how much it chills people's speech.
Julia Angwin is an investigative reporter and New York Times contributing opinion writer.
All right.
Julia Angwin.
Yeah. One of the things keep in mind that this, I think, is a big deal. This was available to Trump during his first term.
Hmm.
When Biden took office, he banned Pegasus, this software, from being in this country. He banned the government from ever using this because of the danger it poses to the public and privacy in this country. He banned it.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as Trump took office again, the second time around, he made it legal and spread it through ICE. And they're using it to track people and to centers. And, of course, then when they designated everybody who protests in the country now as Antifa,
mm-hmm,
against fascism, as being the terrorist and the enemy, now they have every reason in the world to use it to just surveil the public in general.
Yeah, that's really scary stuff.
Yes, it is scary stuff.
It's just beyond.
And there's no way to get away from them. And just like I said this in one battle after another.
Oh, yeah, in the movie that's out, yeah.
That is such an incredible movie. What struck me in that movie is how easily the military can find anybody, anywhere at any time.
Hmm.
I mean, that blew my mind, and it opened my eyes. And then when this story came out on Monday, I'm thinking, oh, my God, it is even worse than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just, it's mind-blowing, and it reminds me of because of this lady appeared, this woman appeared on Rachel Maddow, Julia England. Reminded me that Rachel Maddow, you know, she points out different signs from protests.
Yes.
And one sign that stuck out, and she also pointed it out and it highlighted, the sign said, "Make Orwell fiction again."
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's really chilling now.
It is.
This is really what we're living through, is 1984.
What I can't understand is why isn't CJ, why isn't my MAGA friend in Milwaukee really intimidated by this? This could be used against them anytime, anywhere in the future. Why aren't they stopping this? And I think the worst part of all of this is that we have the wrong president in power at the wrong time. We are, you know, making these huge leaps in AI. I mean, what, 16,000 people are losing their jobs left and right because of AI. We're building these huge data centers filled with AI. We're seeing the expansion of AI in this country to a point it's just mind-boggling, and yet we have these kinds of programs out there, and we're not worried. It's a frightening thing.
Yeah, and when you think about Zuckerberg and Bezos and Elon Musk,
all of these
are in Trump's inner circle. All these guys are kissing up to him big time because they're all in on AI and want all this information, you know, to be kept between all of them to control media, basically, and what we see and what we hear and everything.
Yeah, they're making decisions based on what Trump wants at this point, and the FCC is also
being very political
now, and that's unfortunate. That never happened before, and we're seeing the results of this.
Yeah,
but anyway,
scary times.
Ajit Pai was actually during the first Trump administration, and he kind of politicized it a little bit by getting rid of the internet's neutrality. Remember?
Net neutrality.
All right, let's get to another big story here. Trump already costs every one of us $18 billion. Regulators have gutted consumer protection rules on everything. Regulators have either withdrawn or stopped enforcing rules that would have restricted predatory bank overdraft fees. Why? I don't know. Think about it.
Yeah.
Mandated refunds for canceled and delayed flights. Remember Pete Buttigieg said no more. When you're delayed, you get compensated for your delays at the airport.
Yes.
But that's gone now. Banned wage-suppressing non-compete agreements. Those are back. And the $49 billion in medical debt that people would have been able to write off on their, on their records.
Yeah,
that's back.
Oh.
For some reason, Trump wants everybody to still have medical debt on their records so they can't get loans and so on and so forth. I don't know the logic or reasoning for this. Why aren't the MAGAs out there complaining about something like this? Because they're affected by this just like everybody else.
Right.
This isn't aimed at liberals or Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, anyway.
Okay.
What do we have? Less than a minute here?
Yeah, we do.
All right. How about this? The U.S. hit $38 trillion in debt after the fastest accumulation of $1 trillion outside of the pandemic. That's right. The U.S. was at $37 trillion in August. A month later, it's now at $38 trillion. Voodoo economics, trickle-down fantasies, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, boy.
It's happening.
Not good. 19 past the hour, coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll check in with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, get some legal advice going. It's our two-year anniversary here. John and Gordy on WMDX. Coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy. guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Not a good thing to know. Everybody WNDX. John and Gordy in the morning.
23 minutes past the hour. 37 degrees, highs today in the low to mid-50s. Going to be a nice day. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. An old friend of ours is online this morning on WMDX. Good morning, Sly.
Good morning. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this is unbelievable, isn't it?
Hard 2 years.
2 years in radio is like 2 decades.
It is.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It feels like 2 decades, too.
Well, I just mean, you know, radio's a little unsettled, right?
A little, yeah. You know that, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to the ringer.
Yes, you have.
Several times, yes. Yeah. We were just talking about how we knew each other way back in the early days of WMAD. I remember, Sly, you were doing overnights, I think, to start out there very early on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think that's when the mob owned it.
Pretty sure. Oh, those were the days.
and then at WIBFM, you were doing overnights. Is that correct? Before you took over when I was fired. The big clearing house there.
Mm-hmm.
So that person kind of reminded me a little bit of Donald Trump.
Lee Leisinger.
Okay.
A little inside stuff there, but yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's good, though. You know, the nice thing is you can go to bed at night now in America and wake up in the morning and just realize everything will be just fine.
the big government is looking out after us.
That's
now.
Right.
They've tapped our phones. Yeah. Why not?
Everything's good. You know, when I saw a tear gas canister being thrown at a Presbyterian priest in Chicago.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, that's what Thomas Jefferson wanted.
You know, you're right. Yeah.
I think that's what the MAGAs voted for, isn't it?
Wow.
But, you know.
Well, actually, some of them probably did. But to be fair.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, that guy that is heading up, heading up ICE in Chicago is so outrageous. It's so out there.
The judge smacked him down pretty good the other day.
Yes, I know. And she should have. But he got out of the courtroom, and then he's waving to the crowd from the door, from his open door in his vehicle. Wow.
Fascists will be fascists.
Yes, they will be.
You know what's weird, though? Trump is obviously very unpopular, but why would someone like John Fetterman or Bill Maher, for that matter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hop on the bus when it's going off a cliff.
Right. Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't understand that at all.
Oh, I know. Bill Maher just went off the rails a couple of weeks ago, and I can't listen to him anymore. I won't listen to him anymore because he's gone.
He wanted Zohran Mamdani to renounce his Ugandan citizenship.
Right.
Yeah, that's just
crazy times we live in. Sly, what have you been up to?
We should have asked Elon to do that for a South African citizenship.
Right.
Well, I got to speak at one of the No Kings rallies, the one in Monroe, and it was so great to speak to people and see so many people in small towns show up. To me, Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago, that's all great. But when you have people showing up in places like Baraboo, I think that's what's important.
By the way, I watched your speech in Monroe. So, yeah, it was great. It was really good to see.
You heard me say that the Trump crowd are low-rent traitors,
yes,
I believe is what I call them.
Yeah. I had goosebumps when you said it. So.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
Inspiring, it really was.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
They are. Did you ever think you'd wake up and see half the White House gone?
No.
Well, 9/11, I thought that was a possibility.
Right.
You know?
The thing is, he didn't even have a building permit to do any of this, which is truly astonishing.
Just went ahead and did it.
No, yeah. He just went and did it.
Yeah.
They have They have Ralph and Malph Monroe from Green Acres doing the addition.
Wow. Okay. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Green Acres reference. I love them.
Find the reference the 30-something crowd's going to have no idea what we're talking about.
But they should actually watch Green Acres sometime, the original Green Acres.
Whoever wrote that show, I mean, it's kind of what we're living through right now, only kind of like a little Stephen King mixed in with it, but
yeah, no kidding.
We're kind of living Green Acres.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, find that now. Yeah.
Well, you know, we'd love to have you on the show more often than just once every 2 years, you know?
Yeah, Sly.
Well, I'm glad to do it. We talked about that at a funeral. That's how I see people now.
That's right. Yes, we ran into each other.
That's right. We did talk about it at a funeral.
No, we'd love to have you back. Yeah, anytime.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great.
All right.
I just wanted to congratulate you keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Sly.
Have a good morning.
Yeah, it was great hearing you.
Sly. Yeah. Yeah,
we miss him on the air, actually.
Well, so. I know. Yeah, we should have him on a regular basis. Let's work on that. Yeah, we go so far back with Sly over the years, decades. Yeah, amazing stuff. Okay.
We did talk last at a funeral for one of our radio friends. Radio friends who passed away.
Mm-hmm. But actually, was that a Jim McGaw's?
No.
Oh, it was. I'm sorry. Okay. Oh. I'm sorry.
He was a voice of WIBA for so many years.
Sly, yes. We'll have him back again. All right, 29 past the hour. When we return after the Midwest Food and Farm Report, we'll check in with Jim Santel, former U.S. Attorney at Law.
Yep, find out what's going on in the courts.
It's all coming up on our 2-year anniversary here of John and Gordy on WMDX.
WMDX 92.7, it's John and Gordy in the morning, Dom at the controls, and it's been a wild second anniversary.
Yes.
2 years
together at one
station.
WMDX, that's right. Yes, and we've been celebrating, getting a lot of nice messages on the texts here this morning.
And we were, Sly and all of us kind of ran into each other at a remembrance of Van Edwards, who was truly a fantastic guy, a great voice for WIBA-FM. Yeah.
And Sly was talking about how we ran into each other at that celebration of life.
Yeah.
And, it's great to go back in time.
And, of course, Jim McGaw, who I knew at Magic 98 for many, many years, and he was one of the absolutely nicest guys in the world ever.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to see him rise up through the ranks of radio and have his own morning show. That was just fantastic stuff.
Terrific, yeah.
Hate to see him go
like
that.
Yeah. Well, it is time for us now.
Too early.
Yeah. Yep, to check in with our former U.S. Attorney at Law, Jim Santel.
He's going to be very busy defending John and Gordy in the courts
in the near future.
In the next couple of years.
Yeah.
I'm clearing my calendar, just so you know that. And you're just going to be my only clients, and we're going to spend a lot of time reviewing all the past 2 years. By the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wonderful, outstanding, stellar. We are better for having you on the air as always. And hopefully we'll keep you off the stand as witnesses in the forthcoming trial. So we'll do all those things in the near future.
Well, we appreciate having you in our corner, Jim.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jim, you know, we were talking earlier about what happened in Illinois. The judge down there really slapping down the Border Patrol commander. I couldn't think of his name, but you posted it in your email to us. It's Gregor Bovino.
And exactly.
He is just, I've never seen anybody so militant ever. he's in your face. This is an amazing person.
He is. And he's a U.S. Border Patrol commander, which sounds as dramatic as it is. Mm-hmm. And among other things, as you have mentioned in the previous segments, he was seen recently hurling a canister of tear gas right into a crowd. And beyond that, even when you listen to him on the streets and he's talking about what he is doing, This is not a gentleman who is talking about safety and security and preserving the well-being of the community. This is somebody who's going after people. This is someone who's got an agenda here. And again, I have not seen that before in government. My experience was that great numbers, the great majority of people, if not all of them, committed to service. This is something else. And again, it's Sarah Ellis. She's the federal district court judge there in Northern Illinois who has said no more. She has laid down the law in many different areas, including this tear gas prohibition. A couple of interesting dynamics. She has also been requiring him to show up nightly in her courtroom. Yeah. That, for what it's worth, has just recently been suspended by the appeals courts, who said, well, that's maybe a little bit too much. She, again, is the Seventh Circuit prevented her from doing that, but not prohibiting her from taking routine reports on all this.
And the videos. And the apprehensions, all of those reports. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And the other footnote to all of this, which is joined in by the Illinois governor just in the last few hours or so, she also said, and again, speaking about all of your comments this morning in this wonderful show, America 2025, she said, let's not have tear gas on Halloween. Let's not tear gas the kids as they go out trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. Can we not do that, please? And again, the governor has joined in that with a similar statement. But it is stunning that a federal district court judge has to say something like that, prohibiting tear gassing on Halloween when children are going out trick-or-treating in the streets of Chicago.
That's right. They stopped a 60-year-old, dragged him out of his car, got on top of him, broke, I think, 6 ribs doing that. So he's receiving treatment for it, internal bleeding as well. That's what's going on down there. Just grabbing U.S. citizens, injuring them.
And it is not only a violation of our fundamental beliefs about how we treat each other on the face of the planet and certainly this country, but that kind of behavior can also give rise, we talked before tongue-in-cheek about litigation, that can give rise to legitimate lawsuits. Arrests with using unreasonable force. Those are civil actions. But beyond that, you can get remedies for that kind of behavior. And again, the American population needs to respond in that way and others, including just general outrage about the behavior.
Yeah.
Talking with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. Let's turn to another case here. Trump has filed a brief to try to overturn his New York felony convictions. Alleging presidential immunity.
Now, I thought that already hit the courts. They weren't subject to the presidential immunity law.
Right. So what we have going on here, and the reason why you're scratching your head about the timing on this is it underscores that justice is slow in America, not just during a time of government shutdown, which, by the way, is affecting now more and more the courts. That's your next issue, is as salaries are no longer paid. But putting that for one moment, that huge issue to one side, this is his appeal. He's taken his appeal. This is the 34-count judgment against him, the criminal judgment, finding he's violated New York law. We all remember that trial well, in front of Judge Juan Merchan. And he has appealed this. And so what's happened now is his attorneys have now, pursuant to the briefing schedule set by the court, they filed their initial brief explaining their basis for the appeal, and you got it just right. He is invoking that decision on July 1 of 2024 from our United States Supreme Court, saying the presidents are immune from criminal conduct. Interestingly, they say for official conduct, again, while in office, and again, issues about whether or not that should apply were argued in front of Judge Juan Merchan. That's what you're remembering also. And he, in the end, said there's nothing to prevent me from going ahead on this. You recall he sentenced the defendant, our president, Donald Trump, to no prison time, no other imposition of any other obligations, but kept the judgment of a finding of criminal conduct in place. That's what Donald Trump is now saying. He is also, of course, attacking Juan Merchan again as being on the take and should not have presided over the trial, should have recused himself. It's all the old arguments, but it's now from the Court of Appeals in New York.
Unbelievable.
Well, I don't know. You know, it'd be shocking that this guy could get off just, you know, have a clean record eventually. It was strange, right? Hmm. I mean, this guy's been working with the Russian mob for at least 3 or 4 decades. But
allegedly, yeah.
Well, no, right. I think he's laundered money for him. You know, with their rentals at his buildings, his complexes. Mm. He came across a list on X where they listed everything, all the businesses he had, all of which were all fraud, and everything he had to close down because, you know, they were, you know, just ripped off people, basically. Mm-hmm. Scams.
And much of that, of course, the litigation was brought by somebody else in New York. The other criminal case, that's Alvin Bragg. He's the DA. Remember him well?
Oh, yes,
from
yes.
Manhattan. Yeah. But the other one, of course, is Letitia James, who has brought these lawsuits against him, including this huge judgment against him for exactly what you said, John, for undervaluing properties. Again, a civil case, civil violations of law, got that huge judgment against him. That judgment in its numbers was knocked down. But once again, that the judgment itself is maintained. And of course, what Donald Trump does, the other reason why Letitia James is in the news, filing all those lawsuits, preventing him from doing all this fraud that you saw in that list, is now she, of course, herself is on the receiving end of a federal criminal indictment based upon his demand to the Department of Justice that she be charged for doing what she has done, which is her job as the principal law enforcement officer in the state of New York.
Now, we're going to get into the part where the Supreme Court takes a look at the tariffs.
Yes.
What's the latest on that?
Sure. This is one of those times when, again, depending upon, again, I'm assuming that in your beginning of your third year that you're going to be going into 4 full hours now, right? And every morning. So,
yes, well, absolutely.
So, yeah, right?
Yes.
Right?
We're working on that.
To cover this. We're not covering enough stories here.
Exactly, right? And so if you do, you can, as I've done in some classes recently, you can hear the Supreme Court on November 5th. That's next week. And they're going to be arguing live at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock our time, 10 o'clock their time, the issue of whether or not the President of the United States of America can impose tariffs. Everything that's been animating him so wildly, including just recently attacking Canada, as we know, for running that ad involving Ronald Reagan. Can he do that? And of course, as we've talked before on this very program, we've got two compelling decisions. Huge decisions from lower courts. There's the Court of International Trade. It's a federal court. There's another court, the Federal Circuit. Both of them looked at this and said, number one, Mr. President, there's this thing called the Constitution. And in Article 1, it specifically says that who is responsible for tariffs? Oh, yeah, that would be the United States Congress. Mm-hmm. Not that you can't consult with them. That's their responsibility. This thing called the IEEPA. I know that Dom works on it and speaks about it all the time.
All the time.
But it's this,
ridiculous.
Right? Exactly. right? And it's basically this law that says the only basis upon which the president can do something with tariffs is, that, once again, if there's a true emergency, you've got to protect the integrity of the nation. You got to act quickly. You can't wait for Congress to impose tariffs of this kind. And again, the courts have said, no, there's no emergency of that nature. Goes up to the Supreme Court, and we will get a pretty good sense, all of us, next Wednesday, whether or not the Supreme Court is buying into the learned and sound and reasonable decisions of the lower courts that said all of this tariff stuff is unconstitutional.
Yeah.
So this is going to be available as a live feed that we can all listen to.
Do that, right? Actually, they're back in business next week. They're back in business on the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th, a bunch of cases. This is on Wednesday, and they've got 2 consolidated cases. You can not only hear past recordings, but again, you can hear this live next Wednesday again, 9 o'clock our time, 10 o'clock theirs, and you'll hear the justices give you a pretty good sense of how they feel about this. You've got the Trump administration obviously defending what he's been doing. You've got private businesses, including a toy company, is upset about the fact that these tariffs have been imposed. And they're arguing, again, no legality to doing this. We'll get a pretty good feel, whether it's live or you can hear it afterwards, about what the Supreme Court's going to be doing. All of these cases, again, may be decided long before June, given the timing of all this. Can you imagine, again, appropriate for the Supreme Court to look at this, as the lower courts have, and say, Mr. President, there's no there. You can't do this. That would be the decent and right and legal thing for them to do.
That's not going to happen. You know it.
Right. That's where I'm going with this. This is a Supreme Court that said, go ahead, do whatever you want in so many areas, trouncing not only statutes, but also the Constitution. Let's assume that the Supreme Court does get some sense about it and says, no, you can't do this. How do you unwind 9 months of tariffs that all this has been wrong? Right. How do you do that?
Yeah.
Almost impossible. Okay. We've got so much more to talk about. We'll take a break here first.
Mm-hmm. We'll come back with Jim Santel on John and Gordy for this 2-year anniversary morning here on WMDX. Coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, unbelievable. Here we go.
2 years at the mic, they've been, oh, what a ride. John and Gordy spinning stories side by side. Coffee cups steaming, early mornings alive. Radio waves where the spirits thrive.
Is there video in this?
Cool guests rolling in like a breeze through the door. Stories stacking up, who could ask for more? To many more shows, to laughter and cheers.
This is where I cried.
Civic Good Media Lord. Magic to golden years.
I did.
Okay.
With coffee in hand.
Right, my hand.
And tales to unfold.
So many tales.
John and Gordy's legend is radio gold.
Somebody
gold! It's
somebody get Catherine a Kleenex.
The two is gold.
Oh, Lord.
The two behind you.
We're going to start our own gold room
gold.
Now.
Yes.
That's right.
I just want you to know, you got to clean this up when you're done.
Oh, right. Okay. Damn it. 92.7 yeah. WMDX. What? Well, thanks, Catherine. Now she's running out of the studio. All okay.
Right. Well, you've got Jim Santel with us.
Yes, we do. Jim, please stand by. We want to go to the phones here and pick up a phone call here from Troy, who has been patiently waiting here for quite a while. Good morning, Troy.
I think Catherine's going to need a whole handkerchief after that, not just Kleenex.
I know.
I wanted to say congratulations on the 2 years, and hopefully it's 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 more.
Well, thank you, Troy. We appreciate that.
Well, thanks, Troy. Yeah, it was fun.
Have a great day, guys.
It was fun out at the game with
you
as well.
Troy.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Got a whole bunch of texts here from, and no, very little time to talk to all these people or tell us or tell you what they had to say. But thank you to Dick and Tanya and Doug and Melinda, Chuckster, Linda, Diana, Kurt, Dolores, T, Ray, Steve. And if I left your name out, I apologize, but we're getting more. Laura and Mark.
I just want to mention to Chuckster as well.
Good
song suggestions for the show. We will certainly look at those.
Definitely.
Very good. And everybody else, Mark and Laura.
I mentioned Doug before, but Doug has been with us since day one, too. And
Laura says this is my new favorite song.
I'm glad you like it, Laura. Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, Doug put that thing together.
2 years.
That's great stuff.
And we're back with Jim Santel for a couple of more minutes.
Kurt still doesn't like the Village Idiot, but you know what? Every once in a while, we get him on the air, and we have to know what they're thinking.
To listen to all opinions.
All right,
here.
Let's get back to Jim Santel. We've got so much more to cover.
And gentlemen, I have to say, I didn't realize that.
Go ahead.
I didn't realize that Tom had collaborated with Stephen Miller to put that wonderful musical piece together for you.
Hey,
I didn't know Stephen sang, but Dom, good for you to do that.
Yeah,
right.
Again, across political divides.
Right.
That's a good thing.
I can call him up anytime, you know?
Yeah. That is good stuff.
Good. Yeah.
Let's get to what the Supreme Court is looking at as far as, the determination on redistricting. And what's going to happen with that? When is that decision expected to come down?
Right. We don't know. Certainly by the latest would be June. And this is, again, this huge Voting Rights Act case. There's some speculation, including my own, that they will do this long before then. Why? Because if they are indeed set, as they seem to be, ready to strike down the last portion of the Voting Rights Act, the Section 2 provision that, again, would otherwise prohibit using race as a way of prohibiting people from voting. If they strike that down, mm-hmm. what that means is communities, states around the country can then basically redraw lines as they want. No political gerrymandering, no racial gerrymandering can be subject to review in the courts. And so what you may get is a huge amount of legislative action between whenever the court issues that opinion and, of course, next November to redraw congressional lines, which, again, could dramatically change what happens in November. The issue, of course, is you got to get that done. If you're going to do that long in advance of November, if you issue this decision in June, giving people this right, these legislators, this option, no longer under the Voting Rights Act, that's also pretty tight timing to get all that done. So they may issue this decision beforehand. I am still hopeful. Yeah. I'm still hopeful, as are you, as are your listeners, that they will not do this thing that's going to dramatically affect civil rights and voting rights in America. But it sure looked like it a couple of weeks ago from the oral argument.
Yeah, the governor down in Louisiana, Governor Landry, I believe, set some time aside for the legislature to redistrict if the Supreme Court tears apart the Voting Rights Act. So they're already putting a place marker in order to take care of this right away and make sure that they get rid of minority voting in the state. So, and by the way, the other job the other job that he was preoccupied with is finding a place to put the statue of,
of Charlie Kirk
on the campus.
Important stuff.
Yes. What were you going to say?
Busy guy, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Jim, what do you have on your show this Saturday?
Yeah. Sure. Well, we're going to talk again about the Supreme Court. They're also doing a number of other cases next week. Various jurisdictional things that only lawyers love. But there are also some interesting cases involving things, the right of people to sue the government, all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to be talking, in addition to the topics that we talked about this morning, we also got a California judge out there in the district who is once again told the federal government and told Donald Trump that he cannot fire federal employees during the shutdown. Mm. That could take on some new life even the next 24, 48 hours. We'll talk about that as well on Saturday morning.
I have a bigger question here. You know, we're seeing a lot of ICE agents beating up American citizens and there's no recourse. How can we take care of that? There's something that we can do eventually to get be able to sue the U.S. government on this?
Right. There are folks who are suing already, and that litigation needs to go on in the courts. Absolutely.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, Jim.
Jim Santel. You can check out Amicus Law Review every Saturday morning, 9 to 11 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for all the texts and comments. And
being
also,
there for 2 years.
Yes. I know. Thank you to Sly for showing up, too. Appreciate Sly calling in, too. That's it for us. Stephanie Miller's next. Have a great day. Talk to you bright and early Halloween morning tomorrow.
The
national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.